Nice to see the sunshine this morning. Makes you feel better, doesn't it? So our theme this year has been, does anyone know what our theme has been? Come Holy Spirit, excellent. So what did Jesus say would happen when the Holy Spirit came? In Acts 1 verse 8, and every good Pentecostal person should know this verse, says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you're such an awesome God. We thank you that we've been able to come together as a family this morning and worship you. God, we thank you that you just don't want us to stay in this little family, God, that you want us to go out into the world and to be witnesses for you. So as we listen to your word this morning, I pray that you'll encourage us, that you challenge us, and that you'll equip us to do all that you've called us to do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've been doing a theme on our cultural values. So I've talked about being devotional, having a genuine reverence for God. And Sharon talked about not just about being genuine, not just wearing the scarf and the beanie, but being really genuine in our devotion for God. I've heard about being relational and having a deep love for others. Nicori talked about that wild joy that we have when we fellowship together. I'm waiting to see that. Matt talked about equipping, having a desire to disciple, mentor and coach, and having a desire to be discipled, mentored and coached. And then last week he talked about being anointed, having a passion to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And Matt talked about how we need an external power to do what God's called us to do. And today we'll be talking about being missional, so a commitment to a mission and evangelism. So what is mission? And in two words, it is to send. But some other bit more interesting ways of talking about mission, it's an important assignment given to a person or group of people, or it's a special quest that requires effort. It makes me kind of think of Indiana Jones or something like that. You know, we're on a quest, but it's going to take some effort. So what's our mission? There are a few verses in the Bible that give us a clue. In fact, there are about 1,600 verses, more than 1,600 verses in the Bible, that talk about God wanting to be seen by all the people on earth. And it starts right back in Genesis. In Genesis 12:3, God said to Abram, "All peoples on earth will be blessed by you." In Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And in Revelation 7, verse 9, John says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb." So from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, it talks about everybody hearing about God. So that's a bit of a hint, 1,600 verses about telling people about God. Then there are more than 2,000 verses that tell us to care for the poor, the widow and the orphan. James 1:27 says, "Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress." Proverbs 28:27 says, "Those who give to the poor will lack nothing." And Jeremiah 22:16 says, "He defended the cause of the poor and needy, and so all went well. Is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord?" So our quest, our important assignment, is to help everyone, everywhere, to know about God and to help the needy. That's kind of it in a nutshell, in my words. It's our mission as a church and the mission of each and every one of us personally, to help everyone, everywhere, to know about God and to help the needy. So I've been hearing about our cultural values, and I think that we need the DREA so that we can M. Yeah, now, Matt talked about last week about David being able to fling the sling. It's been going round and round my head all week. Let's fling the sling. But as dream builders, if we're going to fling the sling at missions, then we absolutely need to be devoted to God. We need to have a good relationship with others. We need to be equipped and be prepared to equip others. And we need to be anointed. Now, we won't hit the bullseye unless we're incorporating these things into our lives. And remember I said that mission requires effort? Well, sometimes those things are an effort. I don't know about for you, but sometimes they are for me. So, but we, you know, we really need to keep those values in our lives, and the effort is well and truly worth it. The things that we'll see God do as we have those values in our lives will blow us away. So Dream Builders Church Smithton has a mission to tell people about God and to look after the needy. And I guess the main way we do that, or the church does that, is to give people an opportunity to pledge finances to the mission work and then use those finances to support things like Joy School, Laura Borg, Tribes and Nations, Set of a Change, Operation Christmas Child and many other things. And we also host events like the Princess Party, the Christmas Carols, the high tea that we're having. Those things give people an opportunity to hear about Jesus. So there's a mix of telling people about Jesus and looking after people. So I think it's pretty true to say that we would be a missional church. I think everyone would agree with that. But this morning I want us to ask ourselves a question. Am I a missional person? Now, it's great to belong to a missional church, but does that make us missional people? And I don't think it does. I think it's a bit like growing up in a Christian family and expecting that to make us a Christian. You know, it doesn't. Being part of a missional church doesn't make us a missional person. It's something we have to choose for ourselves. But if you're not a missional person, don't panic. It's not the end of the world. Now, I didn't used to be a missional person either. I'd read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but it hadn't actually got through my brain that those verses actually applied to me. You know, I was interested in hearing about other people's stories about being missional, but I was convinced that my work was to look after people once they got to church. You know, that was, I didn't need to go out there and talk to other people. I could look after them once they came here. And I was happy to give some money to help needy people. You know, we sponsored a child through Compassion, so I kind of, you know, sort of, no, I didn't really do anything. No, but that was, you know, that was as far as my commitment went. It was really a little fringe thing. And I remember back when we were teenagers, probably when I was in grade 9 or 10, and we used to bring our stamps, our old stamps, to give to the, because they raised money for missions people somehow. You know, that was kind of the extent of my commitment to mission. But God changed my heart and he changed my perspective. And, you know, I realised that I've got a responsibility to fulfil the Great Commission. It wasn't just for pastors. It's not just for missionaries or evangelists. So if you're not a missional person, don't panic. It's okay. But ask God to change your heart. Although I didn't even ask God. He just did it. He just did a number on me one day. But, you know, if you're not a missional person, I'd really encourage you, you know, don't just think, oh, you know, that's for somebody else. Oh, yeah, it's easy for them. You know, it wouldn't be hard for them. You know, we all need to be missional people. So if you do consider yourself a missional person, are you actually invested in missions? Or are you happy to make a faith promise pledge, but, you know, that's it, I've ticked the box, I give my money every month or every fortnight or whatever, but, you know, I don't want to get too involved. But one way I like to remind myself that I need to be involved is to remember that, you know, each ministry or school or organisation that we support is made up of individual people. They're real people. They're people with hopes and dreams. They have bad hair days. They're people just like us. So, you know, those people that we saw in Myanmar this morning, you know, they're real. And it's not easy to have your daughter in prison, even if you're a pastor. Like, it doesn't make something special and he just goes, oh, well, you know, that's okay. You know, they're real people. And, yeah, I think it's really helpful for us to remember that they are real people. So I want to read you a letter this morning from one of those real people. She's a girl that went to Joy School. Damien was talking to her in whenever he was there this year, April this year, and she's attending high school now in a different school. She says, "Greetings and love to you, my dear friends. How are you doing over there with the entire family? I pray that all is well with you. My name is Sandra. I'm 17 years old and I'm in S3 class. I want to become a surgeon when I grow up, and I thank God that I performed well in all sciences. Biology, chemistry, physics and mathematics are my best subjects." Well, you know, whose aren't they? "I believe this will enable me to achieve my goal. At school, I perform in dancing and it's my best hobby. Our school promotes talents through music, dance and drama, and we are well known for that. I find school very interesting and we have good and caring teachers. I'm currently at home for my school, for my short second term holiday, and will be back to school on the 18th of September. At home, I'm helping my family with cooking, cleaning, fetching water, and all other chores at home. Don't kids love being on school holidays? Through your support, I'm very blessed to have you friends helping me to have a good future by paying my school fees. My prayer is that may God reward you with long life and heavenly blessings always. Our family sends you much love and greetings. My mum appreciates you so much for the continuous love and all the support. We shall always pray for you. Stay blessed. Bye, your loving friend, Sandra. You know, like a real person. She's got jobs. I bet she doesn't like to go on to fetch the water all the time. I bet she moans and groans about having to wash the dishes or whatever. But, you know, she's a real person and her life is changed by what we're doing at Wasworth School. So it's a great way to be invested in missions, is to actually remember that these are real people that we're talking about. And like, I'd really like to encourage you, you know, when you see photos or videos like we've seen this morning, when you read the newsletters from the different projects, you know, don't just see them with your eyes, but see them with your heart. You know, remind yourself that they're real people and be open to hear from God. You know, maybe God wants you to pray for a specific person or situation that you see. Or maybe he wants you to write someone a letter or an email, or maybe he wants you to go and visit them. Great idea to be invested. Great way to remember that people are real when you've actually met them. So be involved. You know, maybe it's making something for the shoeboxes. Glance would love you to make some stuff for the shoeboxes or to buy some things. And remember, they're real kids that are going to get those shoeboxes. They're real people and God is going to make a real difference in their lives. Because when you invest something of yourself, you're more connected to the people, aren't you? You're more, you're just more invested. So, you know, let's really see, let's give, let's pray, and let's go. So now I found out that I was doing the D in Dream. You know, I was quite excited. I love missions. And I went, oh, yeah, missions, I've got that under control. In 6 weeks' time, I'll actually be in Uganda. You know, tick for me. Yeah, well, didn't kind of work out quite as well as I was thinking. Nah. So it was around the time of the advanced conference and I was taking notes flat out. I was jotting down points thinking, I'll be able to share this in my sermon and I can do that. And I kept on, you know, I was really excited and keen. And I thought, oh, well, I'll start doing a Bible, you know, the Bible reading plans that you do on your phone. I thought I'll do some about missions because you can look up lots of different subjects. I thought, oh, that'll be really good. So, yeah, it was while I was reading one of those plans that God started to convict me. That wasn't the idea. I thought I had this one, God. I thought I was like going okay. But I was reading about, you know, as I was reading, I realised that I'd become a complacent missional person. I was comfortable in what I gave and how I was involved and who I prayed for and kind of thought that I had it all together. But as I was reading, you know, one of the plans that I was reading talked about unreached people groups. And, of course, we've heard about unreached people groups. I'd heard about them lots of times. I think I've even heard Matt, like, quote numbers and stuff. But obviously that just kind of went straight over my head. They never got too much attention from me. This plan was saying, you know, there are 7,391 unreached people groups in the world. And that's about 3.4 billion people. That's not people that aren't Christians. That's people that are unreached, that have got no hope of knowing about Jesus. Well, there is hope, but you know what I mean. So an unreached people group is a group of people who lack enough followers of Christ and enough resources to evangelise their own people. They have an utter lack of access to the message of Christ in the Bible. For these people, there are no churches. There are no churches on the corner. There are no Bibles in the bookshops. Most of these people live and die and never meet a Christian. 3.4 billion people will live and die and never meet a Christian. Now, can you even get your head around that? Now, for most of us, even if we didn't live with a Christian, we'd meet Christians every day around our town because there's lots of them. Like, but these 3.4 billion people will live and die and never meet a Christian. You know, I just can't even get my head around it. And obviously God is still doing a number on me because I've lost the plot this morning. But, you know, like, yeah, And maybe you're hearing this morning and going, I don't know what she's crying about, like, you know. But, you know, God just really touched my heart as I was reading about those people. And, just really convinced me that I need to pray for them. And because, yeah, I went, well, what can I do, God? Like, all those people and how, you know, we're just living in this little corner of Tasmania in this kind of end of the earth kind of place. But you know, we can pray. And that's what God said to me, like, you can pray. And it feels like a little prayer and I don't even know what to pray, you know. So I don't know what I do, but I talk to God about it. And you know, he's way more powerful than anything. He can do anything. He can do more than we can ask or imagine. So, you know, I'm trusting God that as I, convicts me and as I pray for those people that things will happen, that things will break in the heavenlies over those people and, yeah, that something would happen. So, you know, I just really want to encourage you this morning. You know, are you growing as a missional person? You know, are you like me who just got a bit comfortable and complacent? Or are you ready to, are you open to opportunities that God shows you? And maybe there are opportunities to go somewhere. Maybe there are opportunities to pray for someone. I don't know what those opportunities might be, but let's have hearts that are open to God and willing to go on the journey with him. So I've been talking quite a lot about overseas kinds of missions, but what about locally? You know, Jesus said Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So that's locally, it's nationally, it's internationally and it's everywhere in between. So what am I doing in Circular Head? Am I being a good witness? Am I living so that other people can see God? Is my life a reflection of God's love, his goodness, his faithfulness and his salvation? Does God want to send me to a person or people group here? And would I be willing to go if he asked me to? And I was looking through my diary the other day and I was reminded about once when I was teaching the girls at Joy School how to knit, which is an interesting experience. I had about 50 girls in a classroom and me with my knitting needles and ball of wool, and I was trying to teach them how to knit and it was a bit overwhelming. And so I'd get the girls to come up to so I could cast on some stitches and I'd say, well, who's next? And the girls would say, I am the one. And I remember at the time that I was really impacted, not being overwhelmed about the whole group of 50 girls, but be interested in the I am the one. Who's the one? Who's the one that God is putting on your heart? I think it was maybe last year at our advanced conference, we had the starfish story. Might have been the year before. So the little boy is walking along the beach and there's all the starfish that have been washed up and he picks up one and throws it in the water. And the man says to him, well, what are you doing? You can't save them all. And the boy picks one up. I was going to pick up something on it, but not throw something. And he throws it in the water and he says, I made a difference to that one. And, you know, what's the one that we can make a difference to? There's always one that God has on our hearts, well, that God wants to put on our hearts. Maybe we're ignoring it. Maybe we don't want to know about it. But, you know, I really believe that God has a one for each one of us. And we just need to keep our eyes and ears open for that person. And maybe it's just a one-off experience. Maybe it's like Trevor praying for that lady last week. Maybe it's just, well, I made a difference to that one in that time. Or maybe it's a continuing relationship. Maybe it's somebody that God wants you to get together and have coffee with. Or maybe it's, the Rotary Club that he wants you to go to or to play cricket with an unreached people group. I don't know, but, yeah, I just believe that we need to have our hearts and our ears open and our eyes open for what God has for us. You know, Nicori talked about every interaction counting, like whether they're just little short ones or whether they're long-term relationships. And I was thinking about that and I was thinking, well, you know, did I bless the customer that I served, you know, at work? Or, you know, the tourist that asked for information about something, did I bless them when I talked to them or by the way I talked to them or the way I paid attention to them? You know, there's so many opportunities that God puts there for us if we're just willing to see them and to take hold of them. A few months ago I was listening to a podcast. It's about some people who've set up a hostel for fruit pickers down south where you pick fruit, like, say, I don't know, Huonville or somewhere. And a few nights, so they have these international backpackers come in who are going to pick fruit, and so they provide accommodation for them. And a few nights a week, they have a meal for them. And after they've had a meal, they read a chapter of the Bible and just talk about it. and they offer to pray for people, you know, not, they said not big, long, involved prayers, just, oh, you know, my sister's sick, and so they pray for that or whatever it might be. And I said to Damien, oh, gee, I wish that was me. I wish that was my ministry, but it's, I really know that it's not. But, you know, those people have just, and they said, like, they just share their life with those people. You know, that's what they would do, whether they had fruit pickers there or not. They'd read the Bible after a meal and talk about it. And, yeah, I just thought, wow, what a great way to be sharing, yeah, sharing God with people, sharing Jesus with people. Then I'm also, I'm in a Facebook group. I've got your disease, McCory. So I'm in a Facebook group about fingernails, about painting your nails. Don't ask me why, because my nails aren't painted, but anyway. And people share all this, you know, I'm going to Disneyland, what sort of nails should I have? Or I've been to see the Little Mermaid, look at my mermaid nails. And at Easter time, they were talking about their Easter nails. Apparently it's a thing. You have Easter nails at Easter time. So, yeah, they were talking about, you know, oh, I've got these lovely spring colours. So obviously they're not from Australia because we don't have spring at Easter time. But, you know, some people had these pretty spring colours and other people had them like sparkly with little dots like Easter egg wrappers. But this one lady shared about her nails being red, white and gold. And her nails were red for Jesus' blood and they were white for forgiveness and they had a little bit of gold on them for Jesus' crown. And I went, wow, what a, like, just an ordinary thing, but what a way to share the gospel to people in a set of fingernails. Maybe I should practice. But, you know, what, like, these people have got their thing and their way of sharing Jesus, but, you know, what ways am I sharing Jesus? What's God calling me to do? How does he want me to be a witness? What's my thing that I can do? And I read a story a while ago and I was reminded about it when I was writing this out last night, so I thought I'd share it with you. It says, in her younger years, my mother worked in the fashion industry in England. So it wasn't actually my mother. Our mother did work in the fashion industry making clothes for Nicole and I, but this lady worked in the fashion industry in England. She was employed by a couple of well-known designers. Says at one point she was assigned an elegant black evening dress. We never got one of those either. She had not been told the name of the client because only the main designers met with the mysterious customer and conducted her fittings. It wasn't until the dress was delivered and the client wore it that my mother realised she'd been working on a dress for Princess Diana. This has become one of the legendary moments in our family. Our talented mother created a dress for the beloved princess and she didn't even know about it at the time. I think this story captures something about our work on this earth that we often overlook. Our perspective in this world is narrow. We are unaware of all the Princess Diana dresses of our lives. It isn't until we are given the perspective of heaven that God will reveal to us the ordinary moments that were, in fact, extraordinary by heaven's standards. I love that story that, you know, we're having these interactions with people and we don't know what God might be doing with them. You know, we don't know that we might not be, you know, we're not teaching Sunday school to the next Billy Graham or, you know, we just don't know what God can do with those things that we do. But it's just in our, often it's just in our ordinary everyday lives. And when Matt was talking about David last week and I was thinking about when he went to slay Goliath and, you know, David was going to deliver lunch to his brothers. Wasn't anything exciting. Hadn't thought, right, today I'm going to go out and slay the giant. He was just wandering up to take lunch to his brothers and thought, who's that giant that's defying the kingdom of heaven? You know, and often that's us in our day-to-day lives. We just go on to deliver lunch. We just go on to work in the pharmacy or the school or the accountants or wherever it might be. And, you know, God has these assignments for us. And we may not know at the time that they were a mission or an assignment. We might just think, oh, yeah, that was just another ordinary day. But, you know, God's got so much that's happening in the heavenlies, that's happening that we don't know about. But let's be open to the opportunities that he gives us. Let's be his witnesses in Judea, Samaria, in Jerusalem and to the ends of the earth. You know, let's not hide our lights like we've been singing about this morning. We don't want to put those lights under a bucket or a basket. We want them to shine and for God to be able to be revealed to all people everywhere and to be looking after the needy. And let's face it, there are lots of needy just in our community, isn't there? So, you know, let's be devoted, let's be relational, equipped and anointed and on mission so that God can turn our ordinary moments into extraordinary ones. Now, being missional isn't just a cultural value we have, it's the reason our church exists. is to see people saved, discipled, and living God's dream for their lives. God, we thank you that you have a dream for each of the life of each person in this world. God, whether they live in Smithton or they live in an unreached people group, God, you have a plan and a purpose for them. And God, we pray that we'll be people that that enable those dreams to happen, God, whether it's giving or going or praying or whatever it might be, God, I pray that, yeah, we'll have our eyes and our ears open to the people around us, Lord, that we'll see them not just with our eyes but with our hearts. And, Lord, that we'll be, just always listening to your voice and be ready to say yes when you ask us to do something. Amen.